On behalf of Pastor Bill and Debbie Swan and the people of this house, welcome to the Rock Church of Gettysburg. Amen?
Amen.
We don't take it lightly that you have chosen the Lord. Nor do we take it lightly that you've chosen this house to fellowship with. Amen. But the Lord is sending us a message today, and the title he gave me are the words, Lest We Forget. Lest we forget the promise of the Lord. Lest we forget what God has done for us.
Amen.
We have to be very careful that we don't forget.
That's right.
So the Lord led me to the book of Deuteronomy for today's message. The book of Deuteronomy has 34 chapters. And there's a lot of meat there. There's a lot to consume. There's a lot to digest.
Yeah.
But I read it many times over to seek and search for what the Lord would have me say today. The book of Deuteronomy was written to remind the people of what God had done for them.
Mm-hmm.
And also to encourage people to rededicate their lives to God. Amen. The author of the book of Deuteronomy was Moses.
Mm-hmm.
And with the exception of the final summary, he wrote this book.
Mm-hmm.
Some say that Joshua wrote the final portion after Moses died. But Moses wrote the book for our benefit. Amen. The original audience for Moses was the nation of Israel's new generation.
Mm-hmm.
The young people who came after the original generation is who he wrote this message for. Because they were poised to enter into the promised land.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they were right there, ready to go into the promised land, and Moses had to share with them. But this word applies to us also.
Amen.
This is not just a word that was for the Israelites in those days. This word is also for us. Amen?
Amen.
And the word says that Moses was chosen by God to lead his people out of Egypt and to the promised land. Now this challenge of leadership, I mean, was tough. This may have been the toughest challenge in the history of the world. To convince a large number of people to follow the Lord's covenant when things got tough. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 1 through 3 tells us that this journey was supposed to take 11 days. But it took 40 years for this journey to be completed. And to complicate the matters is Moses learned that he would not be allowed to enter the promised land with the people. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine the day that Moses got that word from God. But Moses kept leading, he kept teaching, and he kept preaching to God's people. Amen.
Amen.
He was a dedicated man. Amen.
Amen.
So let's go before the Lord today. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for who you are. Lord, thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to come into your house and to receive your word.
Yes.
Lord, we ask today that something be revealed, Lord, for my spirit, Lord, that I may be better off walking out than I was when I walked in. Lord, we ask you today for your blessings. Lord, we ask you for joy. And we ask all of it, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Amen. Give the Lord praise one more time.
Amen.
And the Lord is good. And he keeps giving us opportunities to hear his word. So the foundation scripture that the Lord directed me to start this message comes from Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 7 through 10. And this is Moses talking to his people. And I'm going to read the NIV version because I really want it to be clear to what Moses was saying, amen? That's why I chose that version. So Moses said, verse 7, what other nation is so great as to have their gods near them the way the Lord, our God, is near us whenever we pray to him? Moses said, and what other nation is so great as to have such righteous decrees and laws as this body of laws I am setting before you today? But then he warned them. He said, only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen, or let them fade from your heart as long as you live. And he says, teach them to your children and to their children after them. Amen. Moses is warning the people, you know, lest we forget the Lord. And we should not forget the Lord for any reason, was the message Moses had for his people. But guess what? This message applies to you and I.
That's right.
We should not forget the Lord. And Moses addressed this issue really as a warning. And this warning is worth all of us taking heed to. Because today, probably no nation in the world is more challenged with variables than we are here in America.
Yeah.
We're blessed, but we have a lot of variables that can separate us from the Lord. I'm just saying, I believe that this is true. One thing that we have here in America now is we have the oversaturation of pleasure.
Yeah.
I mean, everything is about pleasure.
Yeah.
I mean, even a lot of churches now are setting up the services as not to inconvenience people. As not to bother the people. And everything is changing toward convenience and pleasure. We have prosperity in America. The poorest person in America, I'm telling you, would be considered rich in many other nations.
Yeah, that's right.
They would trade positions with you. They would swap lives with you in a heartbeat.
Amen.
Think about that.
Amen.
But
that's
it's
right.
true. Amen. In the United States, we have an overabundance of options.
That's right.
Man, we have so many options that sometimes it becomes a burden. And we have a lot of inherent distractions. Things that just distract us. Matter of fact, my phone is on airplane mode right now. Because somebody would call me right now, or something would happen. I would get an update from the news or the sports center. So I had to put my phone on airplane mode and use it as a timer, which is why I took it, amen. Amen. We have a lot of distractions here in America. And we have so many freedoms that at some point that it becomes a burden. Potentially, if we allow it to. Because we forget about God, and we forget who He is, and what He has done for us. Now, when I was a kid, and you know, growing up in the late 70s and 80s in Dallas, Texas, we had limited distractions. Everything closed on Sunday in Texas back then. It was called the Texas Blue Laws. You could go to the mall because the mall was closed. You could go to the gas station and buy a hammer, but you couldn't buy nails. So where are you going to hammer? But they had a lot of laws in place that reduced the distractions we had and that we might go to church because it was the best option.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Matter of fact, back then when I was growing up, TV used to go off.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
Some people might not remember that.
Yeah.
But about 11 o'clock in Dallas, they would play the national anthem, and the TV would just go off.
That's right.
There wasn't one station to watch.
Until cable.
And then around 1982, they came out with cable TV. I remember that. Cable TV.
Yep.
And that MTV and all that stuff. Rock and roll, Michael Jackson. And we thought that was a big deal. But there was a time that TV needed to go off.
Mm-hmm.
Not anymore. This kid's to watch TV all night.
Yep.
And guess what? We didn't have cell phones. We had a house phone. That if you stay on too long, your parents would say, get off that phone. We might be getting a phone call if that was phone. Amen. We had a lot less distractions than we have today.
Amen.
Let me forget the Lord, amen.
Amen.
I'm just saying, today is a time where we can easily be distracted if we allow it. The book of Deuteronomy is 34 chapters, and it has numerous things. If you read it and you show it right now what you consider the thing to be, you're going to write for a while. But I chose four themes in the book of Deuteronomy that I believe that Moses warned us to understand. The first theme is that God is after our devotion and He is after our love.
That's right, man.
That's what they tell me in that book. God wants us and He wants our love. The second theme that stuck out to me was that people are prone to disobedience.
That's right.
That includes you and me.
That's right.
We're prone to disobedience. So not doing right all the time.
That's right.
Amen. That is the way we are. So we have to acknowledge that I'm prone to disobedience. Yes. Amen. And another thing that came out, the third one was that God's people need instruction.
Amen.
We need to be instructed on the way to go. Would you
Amen.
Agree with that?
Amen.
It's true. And Moses also said, but hope is coming. He told the Israelites to remember the Lord, do not turn away from him.
That's right.
He said that the Lord will circumcise your heart. He will bring you back around for your good.
Yeah.
If you don't forget the Lord. Moses was acknowledging that we can go astray.
Excuse me.
That we can fall off. But he said, hope is coming if you will just remain faithful to the Lord.
That's right.
And that was encouraging to see that the Lord is there for us. The book of Deuteronomy tells us that Moses addressed the Israelites three times while on the east side of the Jordan River, which was in view of Canaan, the promised land.
That's right.
So they're sitting right there looking over into the promised land. I mean, they were that close. Imagine being close to something that you saw for many years and being right there next to it. And you just want to go. You don't even want to hear what somebody has to say. Imagine that. Well, Deuteronomy chapter 1 tells us that in his first address, Moses encouraged the people to remember what God had done for them.
Mm-hmm.
He said, remember what God has done for us.
Amen.
That's what he told the people. So Moses reviewed the acts and some of the things that God had done for the nation of Israel. He laid them out. The Lord did this, the Lord did that. Remember this, remember that. Amen. Because Moses knew that by remembering God's special involvement in our lives, that it would bring encouragement.
That's right.
Moses said, if you can remember the good things that the Lord has done, you will be encouraged.
Amen.
Amen. That's what he told you.
Amen.
And you will have hope for the future.
Yeah.
Amen. And Moses' second address, in Deuteronomy chapter 4, it tells us that Moses recounted some of the principles of godly living. That he went back and he reviewed the principles of godly living that the Lord had previously given the people.
Uh-huh.
He went and talked about some of these things, some of these covenants, some of the laws that the Lord has set forth. And these principles include the Ten Commandments.
Amen.
The Ten Commandments, as well as other laws and decrees.
Yes.
And those Ten Commandments, I will tell you, are just as relevant today as they were then. Amen?
Amen.
Don't let anybody tell you that they're not relevant.
Amen.
Those commandments are just as relevant, amen, for us now as it was for Israelites back then.
Lord.
And Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 1 through 3, Moses told the people, I'm going to paraphrase it, he told them to listen carefully and to hear the decrees and regulations so that you may learn and obey them.
Amen.
He gave them three steps to glory. Amen. He said, listen, learn, and obey.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, learn, and obey. Listening, it means hearing and absorbing the word. And it means accepting the information about God that you have received. If you can do that, then you successfully listen and heard the word. Moses mentioned learning. Learning is understanding its meaning and implications. Learning means understanding the word and knowing what will happen if I do it right and what will happen if I don't do it right.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. That is learning. And the last thing that Moses mentioned was obey. Everybody say obey.
Obey.
That is putting into action all we have learned and understood. So just hearing the word and learning the word is not worth much if you fail to obey the word.
Amen.
Amen. Listen, learn, and obey.
That's right.
And this way, we'll have an opportunity, really a straight line to glory. Amen. We're going to have challenges, but amen. Glory is awaiting.
Amen.
In the third address to the people, Moses initiated a call to commitment. He told the people, we better recommit ourselves to God. We were committed once, but then we went out and we experienced all types of things. We experienced captivity. We experienced hunger. And we experienced idolatry. A lot of things that we should not have involved ourselves with in some cases. But he told the people, we need to recommit ourselves to God.
Amen.
Moses reminded the people that regardless of the variables, God is still calling us to be committed to love him.
Amen.
He's still calling us. And he's calling us to commit ourselves to love him with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our spirit. Amen. And all of our strength is what he's calling us to put into it. He's not asking for a half-hearted love.
That's right.
He's asking for a full commitment. Deuteronomy chapter 4, Moses hit four points of emphasis that he wanted the people to understand. And he wanted us to understand as well. His first point was that we need to obey. Yeah. Israel, we need to obey.
That's right.
America, we need to obey.
Amen.
His word applies to everyone who believes, amen?
Yes.
But it applies to everyone, but those who believe will implement it. Secondly, Moses warned against idolatry. Because some of the people have taken the worshiping thing that they should not have worshiped. Because Moses said, there is only one God.
Yes.
Amen. He's not made of wood. He's not an animal. He doesn't fly in the air. Or he doesn't lurk under the ocean.
Yes.
Amen. There is but one God. Amen. Moses also reminded the people about the principles of God's living. Man, there are principles in this book that will lead us to live the right way.
Amen.
Lest we forget. Amen. And like the Israelites, we all need to listen to God.
Amen.
None of us are exempt from listening to God. We need to obey God. Even if that means changing something that we've done for 55 years, for 40 years. Even if it means changing the way we operate, we need to obey God.
Amen.
It's never too late to come on the right track. Amen?
Amen.
And we all need to love God with everything that we have.
That's right.
With everything that we have, we need to love God. This attitude should pervade our lives. Amen. I mean, do you agree with that word there?
Amen.
Let's give the Lord some praise.
Yeah, thank you, Lord.
Give him some praise. And Moses said that this attitude should pervade our being. This should be everything to us. Now, obviously, we're not in Israel, are we?
No.
And we were not a part of the original covenant.
That's amen? Right.
However, God's principles still apply to us.
Amen.
Amen. That includes the Ten Commandments, as well as other laws and other principles. The principles of giving, tithing, amen, and many other principles.
That's right.
Amen. Romans 6:14 says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we know that we're under grace and not the law.
That's right.
Amen. But these principles still apply. Now the law had rules like you cannot plow the field with an ox and a donkey together.
Yeah.
They have laws like that. We're not under that law. You can plow your field with anything that you got. Amen. You can put $100 out there and plow the field. So the Lord is not concerned about that law to us. Amen. But the principles of this word, even in the Old Testament, still apply to us. A lot of people are getting confused, Old Testament, New Testament. God's principle applies. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So let's make sure that we're wise in our thinking, wise in our outlook.
Amen.
But the Lord is not concerned about how we plow our field. But the Lord wants our heart. Amen.
Amen.
So the Lord's principles still apply, even from the Old Testament. So as I read this book numerous times, questions started to just come up for me. Questions started to arise. And I just asked, Lord, why did it take 11 days for the people. Why did he say 40 days, years rather, 40 years for the 11-day journey?
Yeah.
Lord, why did it take the people 40 years on what should have been 11 days to go from Egypt to the promised land? Well, I quickly learned through reading that it was not the geographical distance that stood between the people and the promised land.
That's right.
It was not that they were traveling from California to New York.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't the distance. It was the condition of their hearts.
That's right.
It was the condition of their heart that required that they take 40 years to get there. And many of the people never made it.
That's right.
Because the Lord would not allow.
That's right.
Because of their unfaithfulness. Amen.
Sure did.
Lord, kill them all. You're not going in. Amen. So what is the condition of your heart right now? We should constantly be seeking inventory. Because these people took 40 years on a journey that the Word says should have taken 11 days.
Yeah.
Amen. Now, I don't know that I have 40 years left. Amen. I'll be 95. Yeah, I mean, that'd be great if the Lord lets me get to 95.
Amen.
I don't know that I got 40 years. Amen. I want the short route to the promised land. Amen. And I don't want to take longer than the Lord would like me to take. But God's purpose was deeper than just moving a large group of people. It was way deeper than that. The Lord was preparing them to live in obedience. Everybody say obedience.
Obedience.
That's what the Lord was doing throughout all this. Was He was requiring that the people exercise some obedience. Amen. That's what He was doing. That was the main point. My next question was, why did God choose the Israelites as His people? I mean, why did He choose them? And I'm going to read Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 6 through 9, that gives us some insight on why He chose those people. Verse 6 says, and Moses said to the people, for you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the people on the face of the earth to be His people.
That's
His
right.
treasure, possession. The Lord did not set His affection on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other people. For you were actually the fewest of all people.
Yeah.
But it was because the Lord loved you and He kept the oath. Amen. Give the Lord some praise.
Amen.
He said the Lord loved you and He kept the oath that He swore to your ancestors. That He brought you out with a mighty hand and He redeemed you from the land of slavery. From the power of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. In verse 9, Moses says, know therefore that the Lord your God is God.
Yeah.
He is the faithful God, keeping His covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love Him and keep His commandments. 1,000 generations will be blessed. Amen. If they keep their covenant with the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
So Moses said, the love that the Lord had for us and His covenant is why He chose us. He didn't choose us because we're better than anybody else.
Amen.
He didn't choose us because we are in America. Whether we have a master's or doctor's degree.
That's right.
He chose us because He loves us. Amen?
Amen.
So we need to keep that sense of humility of why the Lord chose us. Why am I so blessed? Amen. The Lord chose the Israelites and He chose us for those two reasons. Everybody say obedience.
Obedience.
Amen. Our obedience is required. Amen. By the Lord. It is required. Deuteronomy chapter 28 tells us that Moses placed great emphasis on discussing obedience versus disobedience. Chapter 28, it won't be up there, but chapter 28, verses 1 through 14, gives 14 scriptures that Moses discussed that involves blessings for our obedience.
Mm-hmm.
Things that if you do this, you will be blessed with that. Amen? And it was numerous. And it was very clear. However, verse 15 to 68, 54 verses in the Bible that Moses wrote that talks about the curses for disobedience.
Yeah.
Talks about the things that will happen if you are not obedient.
That's right.
So my first thought was, wow, 14 scriptures about the blessings, 54 scriptures about the curse. Why so many more about the disobedience? Well, the Lord put it on my spirit quickly to understand that Moses knew that the way we're wired is we not only need to hear what we should do, but we need to hear what we should not do.
That's right.
He knows that we need to hear that. Just like our children, if you tell them what to do, sometimes you got to tell them what not to do.
That's right.
And if you do what I tell you not to do, this is what's going to happen.
Amen.
Now you know people parent that way anymore. When I was growing up,
amen,
they told you what to do.
That's right.
And they told you what not to do.
That's right.
And they told you the consequences of you did what you were told not to do.
Yeah.
And guess what? If you disobeyed, amen, you paid the penalty.
That's right.
That's right. But this is no different, but only at a higher level, amen. But Moses knew that, man. I would tell him, I would give him more words about disobedience. Amen. Because the obedience is simple and clear. Do this and you will be blessed. Amen. But the Lord gave me that is why there were so many more words about the ramifications for disobedience. Amen. But God's word is holy. Everything that the Lord's word tells us is true. Amen. It's right. We need to get into that word and make sure we understand the word. And let's not be caught up with the Old Testament, New Testament. What people say now, the Lord's principles are true.
Amen. Yeah. That's right.
That's what I really want you to understand today from this word. So then the question comes up. So how does the book of Deuteronomy apply to our lives in 2021? Well, I mentioned earlier some distractions that we all suffer from. Amen? And these distractions can separate us from God.
That's right.
Because they can become sin, and we know that sin separates us from God, if we allow it to. Amen? So let's be very careful. So this word applies to us, amen, because it's written. If it's written in the Lord's word, it applies to us. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 21 to 24, Moses warned the people against idolatry. He warned them against this. And I want you to understand that these words apply to us as well. Verse 21 says, "Furthermore, the Lord was angry with me for your sakes, and he swore that I should not go over Jordan, and that I should not go into that good land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for inheritance." And Moses said, "But I must die in this land. I must not go over Jordan. But you shall go over, and you shall possess that good land." Then he warned them, "Take heed unto yourselves, lest ye forget the covenant of the Lord your God."
That's right.
"Which he has made with you, and make you a graven image, or the likeness of anything which the Lord thy God has forbidden thee." Moses was saying, "Man, y'all better get right. You guys are idolizing things that you should not." So we know that idolatry was forbidden. And I'm telling you that idolatry is still forbidden for believers. Amen? So I encourage all of us to stop worshiping ourselves.
Yeah. Mm. Amen.
Stop worshiping ourselves.
Amen.
Stop worshiping people.
Amen.
Okay, let's stop worshiping celebrities or athletes or politicians.
Amen.
Let's stop worshiping our wives and our husbands.
Amen.
Let's love them. Let's stop worshiping our grandchildren.
Amen.
Let's worship the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Let's stop worshiping our $3,000 poodle. Amen. That beautiful poodle that comes with my money. Don't worship that thing. But you can love them, amen.
Amen.
Let's stop worshiping our perception of ourselves, our social media profile, our business profile, our status in the church. Let's stop worshiping these things, because these obsessions will not help us in heaven.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Idolatry is wrong. It was wrong for the Israelites, and it's wrong for us. Amen.
Amen.
Let you forget the covenant of the Lord your God. And let's not let our unlimited options in America today rob us Father's house. And you are. This house should be built up. The word says, forsake not the assembly of ourselves together.
Amen.
As we see the dead book. And before the COVID happened, it was hard to get the church filled up.
That's right.
After the COVID, it's even harder because people have justified not attending church because of COVID.
That's right.
If you're out there on Facebook or social media, I encourage you to get back into the Lord's house.
That's right.
I encourage you next Sunday, welcome to the Lord's house. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yeah.
Amen. I'm not joking you.
Thank
I'm
you,
telling God. You to get back to the Lord's house.
Amen.
If he's kept you for 16 or 18 months, yeah. he will keep you some more. Amen.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
House,
come on.
Amen.
Woo! Hallelujah.
I know that this word is true. Get Hallelujah. Back to the Lord's house as we see they approach it.
Yeah.
Let's build this house up. Amen. Get back to the Lord's house.
Amen.
If you can't get to this house, go to another of the Lord's
yeah.
house.
Yeah. Come on.
Build the Lord's house up. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank
Forsake
you.
Not the assembling of ourselves together as we see they approach you. That means this church should be filled up.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. Let's get focused back on the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. We've survived COVID. We've survived wars. We've survived political unrest.
Yeah.
Get back to the Lord's house.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Yeah. And let's give the Lord a little praise if you believe that that word is true. Amen. 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 Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 24 says, "For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire."
Yeah.
Even a jealous God.
Yeah.
That's one sentence that I was like, wow, that jumped off the pages for me. So the Lord made me stop what I was doing to dig in that a little bit more. So, what does it mean that God is a consuming fire? Well, it means that the Lord is morally perfect, amen?
Amen.
The Lord is perfect, and God hates sin, and he cannot accept those who practice sin. And he knows that we fall short, but he cannot practice, he cannot accept those who practice sin. Matter of fact, disobedience and sin of not following God's instruction is one of the reasons that kept Moses from entering the promised land. With all that Moses did, he could enter the promised land. And no sacrifice could remove that judgment. The Lord said, you're not going in. But the Lord did take him up and let him look over in the Canaan. He did show him the promised land. Amen?
Amen.
And I believe that Moses will be waiting on us when we get there. Amen. But the Lord still said, the rules are the rules. Amen?
Amen.
As we said, but blessed are we that we have something that Moses didn't have.
That's right.
Blessed are we that, even though we know that sin can separate us from God, we have something that Moses did not have. Amen. We have Jesus Christ who has paid the price for our sin.
Amen.
He's already paid it.
Yeah.
Amen. And he paid it through his death.
Amen.
And that removed the power of sin. The death had to remove death from over us from sin. Amen. If we believe. Amen. If we are faithful and we accept the Lord for who he is. Amen. That is the condition. We simply have to trust the Lord and his son, Jesus Christ. Give the Lord some praise. Amen.
Amen.
We got to have the trust. So we're blessed with something that Moses did not have it at that time. So the word mentions that God is a jealous God.
Yeah.
But I gotta admit, when I read that, I kind of get confused. I'm like, surely that the Lord thy God is an enemy. But I'm going to explain. The definition of jealousy is that it is a demand for someone else's exclusive affection or loyalty. Amen. That's what it is. But the word jealousy usually has negative connotation.
Yeah.
Sure. Whenever I hear the word jealousy, I get a little uneasy. You know, I'm thinking that somebody is insecure. Mm-hmm. Somebody is overzealous. Somebody is out of balance. Amen. But let me tell you something. God's jealousy is appropriate and it's good. Amen.
Amen.
It's not the same type of jealousy that us people have among each other. Amen. It's not the jealousy that I have when I see Paul O'Neill's new motorcycle back there. Amen. It's a different kind of jealousy. Amen. That I get when Jeff Lewis plays golf better than I play. Okay. Amen. Amen. I don't really get jealous.
It's kind of fun.
But that's an example of it. Bottom line is, God's jealousy is appropriate, and good. The Lord is not insecure, and the Lord does not lack confidence. So don't be confused when the word says that God is a jealous God. Because God is defending his word, and he is guarding his high honor. Amen? And the Lord is making a strong, exclusive demand for his people. The Lord is placing the claim on us. Amen. I want to be claimed by the Lord.
Amen.
I want him to put his stamp on me. I want him to claim me when his son Jesus returns.
Amen.
Because the word said that. When Jesus returns, he's coming to rightly divide his people.
Yes.
It says that he's going to grab his people and he's going to send the others away.
Yes.
To worship somebody else to name the Lord.
Yes.
Amen. The word says so. I want to be among the claim. Amen, that the Lord has on his people, amen?
Yes.
Lord. Amen, give the Lord some praise.
Right, yes. Now. Thank you, Lord.
A little music going back there as we prepare to close, amen?
Hey,
amen. Moses is telling us that we must seek the Lord, and only the Lord has God. Because there is only one God in the entire universe, amen? So we should not be confused about anything else. We should know that there is only one God, and he loves us, and he wants us, amen? And he is ours if we receive it. Amen. We need to trust the Lord, our God, and we need to trust his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Because trusting in Jesus will do two things. The first thing is, trusting in Jesus will save us from God's anger. Amen. I don't want any part of the anger of God. Amen. Trusting Jesus will save us. Trusting in Jesus will also allow us to have a personal relationship with him. Amen. What relationship would be better than one with Jesus Christ? There are none, amen? And really, the theme of today's message is obedience.
Amen.
That obedience equals blessings. And who doesn't want blessings? So let's be obedient, amen? Let's not we forget the Lord. And the word says that Moses was not only a great prophet, but he was also a psalm leader. I didn't know that until I read it in detail. That Moses was a psalm leader. Deuteronomy chapter 32 tells us that Moses ended his sermon to the Israelites while looking into the promised land of Canaan. He ended it with a psalm. And this psalm gives a brief history of Israel. It reminds the people of their previous mistakes. And in the psalm, Moses encourages the people to avoid repeating their previous mistakes.
That's right.
He reminds them to don't go down that road, amen, that you've been down before. And the psalm offers hope that only comes from trusting in God. So go read chapter 32, amen, of the book of Deuteronomy, and just get into your spirit the song of Moses, amen. Because sometimes we need a new song. Sometimes we got to change it up and get a new song from the Lord. And the Bible provides that song. You can open up the Holy Bible at any page and close your eyes, and the word that you come down on,
amen,
is the word for you.
Amen.
Amen. There's no wrong word.
Yeah.
There's no. You can open that book up and And just start reading anywhere, and you will be blessed.
Amen.
Amen. Well, the summary of today's message is very clear. There is only one God.
That's right.
He's after our devotion, and He is after our love. And like the Israelites, we are prone to disobedience. You have to admit that you're prone to disobedience. I am too.
That's right.
Amen. And we need instruction. I mean, that includes you. Amen. Regardless of your level in the natural world, the things you've done, and your position at work, or your position at church, we need instruction. Amen. And that is provided in God's Word, the Holy Bible. Moses said, listen, learn, and obey. And stay obedient to the Lord. Amen. Obedience equals blessing. Because guess what? Hope is coming for those who believe. Amen? Let's give the Lord some praise right there.
Amen.
Amen. The Lord's word is for us. It ain't for the other person, it is for us. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory.
Amen.
Even as by the Spirit of the Lord.
Amen.
The Word says that we can go from glory to glory.
Yeah.
Glory to glory in the Lord's name. No matter what's happening here, no matter what ailments we have, no matter what our finances are like, the Word says that we can go from glory to glory with the Holy Spirit. Amen. I believe that Word, and I receive that Word.
Yeah. Amen.
But if you're here today or you're watching and you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, amen, you do not have the full coverings of the Lord.
That's right.
He loves you and He blesses you and He's blessed you many times.
Yeah.
But if you want the full covering, amen, you need to come to Jesus.
That's right.
Amen. I'm going to read a few words that we read often. Amen. Now, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ, amen, the time is now. Amen. And everybody recite this with me if you have not accepted Jesus, or if you have, feel free to recite it anyway.
Yeah.
Because the Word is good. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Come into my heart.
Come into my heart.
And forgive me of my sins.
Forgive me of my sins.
I believe, Lord.
I believe, Lord.
That you died on the cross.
Died on the cross.
For my sins.
My sins.
And I believe,
that
you rose,
on the third day.
I accept you, Jesus, as my personal Lord,
and Savior.
Fill me with your Spirit.
Fill me with your Spirit.
And Lord, write my name,
in
the Lamb's book of life.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Lord, pray.
Woo!
Amen. There is no coincidence. The Lord's word is for us.
That's right.
Amen. Whether it comes from the Old Testament or the New Testament. Amen. We need to get to that word and understand the principles and the Lord's love for us. Amen. I'm going to close this in prayer. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for being who you are. Lord, thank you for being good to us, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you for choosing us, Lord, as your people.